When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 291, Celebrity Voice Actors and the Awkwafina Effect? Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties, because it's time to dive into today's episode.
Hey there, Animation Addicts. I'm Morgan Stradling.
And I am Chelsea Robson.
And we're back again for another amazing episode. This is a nerdy couch discussion episode where we have certain topics that we talk about relating to the animation industry and things that we're seeing. It's not a review of a movie, but it's definitely pertinent to understanding the animation spectrum and industry. So, this is an interesting one because the last few movies that we've done has kind of led us to this discussion. And it's what we call the Awkwafina effect.
Ooh, what is this? Please tell.
So the Awkwafina effect is something that we've noticed where Awkwafina is basically in every single animated movie right now. It's not, that is Disney. And it's, why is this happening? And it's not just an Awkwafina issue. It's the fact that there's certain voice actors and celebrity voice actors that just are suddenly everywhere and they appear in everything. So the male equivalent of this is Chris Pratt.
Ah, yes.
He was Mario in the Mario movie, and he's going to be Garfield, and he was Emmett in the Lego movie. And so he just keeps getting all of these roles as like the main guy or like one of the main cast. And I just thought it was a really interesting concept, and I thought we would discuss it a little more.
I like this discussion. You know, there was an interesting part about this is many years ago, in our lifetime, it made the change. But like prior to a certain casting, I would say voice actors were just kind of in the background, and they had the Disney and most of the other companies kind of had this mentality of you don't really advertise about your voice actors because that ruins the illusion of life. And so before you had all these really old school, like wonderful voices that you would just know, like, for example, Phil Harris, the great Baloo, and Thomas O'Malley. Like, you would just go through some of these older movies and you're like, oh, yeah, it's him. Oh, it's him again. Oh, they're back. And you had a lot of these.
Occasionally there would be celebrities, you know, Ava Gabor.
Yeah.
For, you know, The Rescuers.
Right.
But for the most part, it wasn't just this insistence on everybody cast needs to be a voice actor. Well, I think the celebrity culture was a little different. Yes. Yeah. It needs to be a celebrity. And celebrity culture was totally different. But even if they did cast, you know, some of these actors are very famous for their time. And for us, they're kind of like, who? So actors were always a thing, but voice actors. But the main crux of it was that they didn't promote it. It wasn't a big deal. You wouldn't put it on your movie poster and in your commercials that, hey, you have this person and this person. It was more like, you're here for the story. It just so happens to be, you know, Ava Gabor or Phil Harris.
Right. And like Mel Blanc. Nobody ever told who the actual voice of some of these earlier, like Donald Duck. And like people just, that wasn't the thing. It was just ruin the illusion of life. And that was the characters were the characters. And that's how they got everybody in. Until there was about a time in our childhood when the wonderful and fabulous actor Robin Williams was cast as the genie in the movie Aladdin. Aladdin. And it really changed voice acting from there on out.
Yeah. And there is a whole drama saga about how Disney sort of exploited Robin Williams in this. And he didn't think that he had very explicit things that his character wasn't going to take up so much, you know, surface area on the movie poster. And they were going to use his name. And then they reneged on that and they did it anyways. And he was really mad at them. And, you know, that's why he's famously not there in Return of Jafar. You know, he saw that movie coming. But yeah, and it really got him upset. And there's a great video on this whole topic about how Robin Williams changed animation forever, especially from the voice acting side. And it's by Lindsay Ellis on YouTube, so I'll include that in the show notes. But that's a really, really good place to start if you're curious about how from like Aladdin changed the game. But really, once that happened, celebrity voices were the thing. It became like, wow, this is such a draw that we need to put them in everything and we need to highlight them. And from this point on, I can't even imagine a movie where they don't highlight the voice actor in some extent. Yes, there's some movie posters where maybe they don't put it on there. For example, Inside Out 2, I've been seeing the movie posters, and I don't recall they have the voice actors explicitly, like, boom, you know, Tina Fey or whatever. Not Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. But that's does happen quite a bit. Anyways, so voice actors are a thing. Celebrity voices are a thing. And one celebrity in particular voicing anything and everything that comes their way is a thing. So this episode, we're going to dive into what we're calling the Awkwafina effect. And, you know, why does she keep getting all these roles, and who are others like her? Is this something new? Is this something just specific to her?
So is this something we haven't noticed before, but has always been a thing? These are questions that we've had. So, okay, we've dug up and we've made a little list. So, Morgan, who are some of the big actors that you were like thinking to add to this list first?
Aside from Awkwafina,
yes.
Obviously, Chris Pratt. He's the male equivalent of this, and we'll talk about it. Let's not do that. Let's just talk about Awkwafina first. So Awkwafina, I really started noticing her in all these different things just because it seems every year there she was in something else. And so here are the different movies that she's been in since 2016. So she's been in 8 movies, basically one a year, more or less, since 2016. She was Quail in Stork. She was Courtney in the Angry Birds movie 2. Otto in the SpongeBob movie, Sponge on the Run. Sisu in Raya the Last Dragon. Miss Tarantula in The Bad Guys. Scuttle in The Little Mermaid. Chump in Migration. And Shen in Kung Fu Panda 4. And it really, we talked about this in our Kung Fu Panda 4 episode, but as soon as Shen opened her mouth, we were like, no, it's Awkwafina.
She's back.
It's not a diss on Awkwafina.
It really isn't.
It was more of the Awkwafina fatigue. It's like, again? Awkwafina again? And I think what we need to say is Awkwafina, she's great. She's this comedian. She's very talented in what she does. And
like, I really liked her in Crazy Rich Asians. She's funny. I just love that movie in general. But like, she did a great job in that one for her part. And so I can definitely see, like, when did that come out? When did Crazy Rich Asians
2018-ish.
Okay, so yeah, yes. I mean, that really ties in pretty well as far as when her star started to shine. Because it was 2016, The Quail, like, nobody saw Storks, so nobody's going to remember that one. Crazy Rich Asian happens, and then from then on, she is in a movie every single year.
She was a breakaway star,
every year. Literally every year since then. She's had some kind of voice acting role, which is like great for her.
Oh, it's fantastic. Like, she is capitalizing on the moment. She has a great manager and, you know, person who finds her business. So yeah, she's good. And she knows when to strike while the iron's hot. If these roles are coming in, unless you are just this superstar, you have so much money, you don't know what to do with, you're exclusive with your roles, like, fine. But most actors say yes. If they're offered the role, they're going to say yes. And I think for her, she's saying yes. And, you know, one thing that's really interesting about her, and I think the reason why we're like, ugh, Awkwafina, is because she kind of, in some of her roles, I could say, she kind of has this, she's kind of a harsh voice.
Scuttlebutt is the worst.
Scuttlebutt is, Scuttlebutt, that song is the epitome of this whole thing. It's terrible. And she's kind of like a lesser version of Gilbert Gottfried, like the female version, where he just has this sort of voice. And she likewise has something akin to that. It's not as bad as him, but even with Gilbert Gottfried, you get used to it. You're like, okay, fine, like, this is his thing. This is just
get used to it with her too. Like Sisu, when she was in Raya the Last Dragon, I didn't think it was, I thought, you know, being that as a character, it's like having Iago as a character. Like, it's unique, it's them. But then when you no longer have the unique side and you start adding that voice to like many different characters, it really does lose its charm. It's no longer an aspect of the character, and it's more of just like, there's so many characters that are exactly the same.
Yeah, and she knows how to play it up, and that's mm-hmm. one thing that I think with Shen, she really didn't have this like crazy quirky like you know. And but in other ones like Chump in Migration, which I saw that actually a few weeks ago with my kids, she plays that part up. You know, Scuttle, she plays that part mm-hmm. up. So there's certain times when she does. With Riot, with Sisu, it, bits and pieces. So I think in my mind, I have this perception that it's this like harsh the whole time, and it's not. It's really not. But so, you know, I know it kind of sounds like I'm dunking on her, but I really don't hate her. I think she's really great at what she does. It's more the fact that there's Awkwafina fatigue in my mind, and I'm starting, and the Awkwafina effect, or the Awkwafina fatigue that I'm feeling, is that she's in so many roles in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And I'm really starting to feel that with Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Where he likewise has been in so many roles, both live action and animation, in such a short period of time, where it's like, ah, Chris Pratt again.
Right.
Why? You know, and, you know, one thing I think the reason why she keeps getting cast in all these roles is that she is different. You will give her that. Her voice is different than anyone else out there. And she's also a female. She's a comedian. She's Asian. She kind of is so different than everyone else that it really makes her stand out, really makes her different, really makes her unique. And like you said, her star is shining right now. And, you know, she's making a great career out of it.
Yeah, I want everything. I want all good things for people. So great. I'm glad that you're paying bills. But it's just like, I don't know. I think it's really just, that's how I go back to it. Like Gilbert Gottfried, he is Iago.
And the Aflac duck.
And that too. But it's like, you can't, like, it's hard to move to anything else without it being like it muddying the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it kind of has. With Scuttle, gosh. She actually, I liked her as Miss Tarantula in Bad Guys.
Was great. Yeah.
That was good. There was we're not trying to diss her. It's just one of those things, like, I don't know. I feel like if you are an actor, you should really find your character and then be like, okay, I'm good. Like, unless you are a voice actor where you have multiple voices. If you
you're Rob Paulson and you've done 3,000 plus gigs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or Nancy Cartwright. You do all the, you have all mm-hmm. these different people. Like, you have Tara Strong, for example.
Yeah.
Like, throw Tara Strong in there and I'm like, okay, she can make it just sound different. And she can give each character their own thing. It's just when these live action actors are put in there and you are just expected to sell on just their one persona. And now mm-hmm, you've put them mm-hmm. in everything. And it's like, I would like to see each property as an art piece in its own self. And it just seems like it's more cashing in than it is like creating a world. And for example, there was a time, and I get it, how if your star is shining, you've got your manager and your agent like out there trying to get you as much work as possible. And so you'll see with a lot of these, it's like there's like a 5-year little spread where mm-hmm. their star shines and they get put in a lot of things. And then it kind of goes backwards. So, I mean, maybe it is like all of these live action stars kind of go through that, I feel like. Like Benedict Cumberbatch. He was in some of the Hobbit movies and for the number one and number two, Smaug and Sauron and Noman Crane.
Chelsea, your lack of Lord of the Rings knowledge is showing. He was Smaug, the dragon, and the necromancer, and he was also Sauron.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I mean, Chelsea. I have watched them all, but it's, you know. Anyway, so I mean, that was 2012, 13, and then 14, Agent Classified and Penguins Madagascar. And it was just kind of like, and then Grinch in 2018, like 4 years later. And then another Shere Khan in Mowgli and The Legend of the Jungle in 2018. So, like, he kind of had his, like, star in the mm-hmm. animated world. That it's like, here you go.
Here's your 5 years, and it hasn't been anything since.
Yeah. You had a couple other people. And sometimes it is just, like later on, you have on your list Justin Timberlake.
It was like, Justin Timberlake's been in tons of stuff. And then I realized, no, he's just been in the 3 Trolls movies.
All of the
Trolls. He was in Shrek. He was in Shrek the Third as Artie. Right. And then Yogi Bear, because, you know, why not?
Yeah.
So, but that's it. Like, he's...
He found his thing. Good job.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, like, okay, he is overdone, in my opinion, for mm-hmm. live action films. But hasn't done as many animated movies.
Really, only 3 to date. He was in something called Planet 51. He was Maui. And then obviously he was Crypto the Superdog in DC's League of Super Pets.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Moana 2, if that supposedly comes out this year, which I have my doubts.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, like, he hasn't done, but he definitely has had his share of live action.
And I was like, oh, for sure, Eddie Murphy. He was in, Eddie Murphy has been in a million things. Yeah. And it turns out he was only Mushu in Donkey. So,
and I liked how he just, those were two really iconic characters that he was like, yeah, right. I like these. And they were, he did a great job in those. And I'm glad that he kind of stopped.
Yeah.
But there are others that they've kind of kept going.
But himself, his star power was rising or was declining. I mean, he hasn't necessarily been in very much over the past 15, 20 years since. Like, I can't name you an Eddie Murphy movie, comedy that he's done, you know?
Yeah.
So it definitely aligns with your stardom and, you know, where how well your stardom stock is doing at that point in time.
That's true.
Let's go back to Chris Pratt. You know, I was like, oh, Chris Pratt, he's totally the male version of this. He's especially live action. He's just this all-American guy. People love him. He's pretty milquetoast as far as, like, he's not crazy either way as, like, really grating or really offensive. Like, just generally, he's appealing to a wide group of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he keeps getting all of these roles, whether it's Jurassic World series or obviously he did phenomenally well in the Guardians of the Galaxy series, which then led into, you know, some of the Avengers films that he played in. You know, so he just, and then he's been, there was a Amazon Prime movie that he was like the main guy in. So he just is getting a lot of roles. And then on top of that, he's been getting these animated movies. So the same year that Guardians of the Galaxy came out, which I would say like his big flagship role as far as catapulting him to his next level of his career, was that. And he was Emmett in the Lego movie and the Lego movie 2, the second part. So that was in 2014 and then 2019. So there was a 5-year gap between those two. Then he was Barley in Onward. And then he was Mario, obviously, in the Super Mario Brothers movie. And now just a year later, he's going to be Garfield in the Garfield movie. And I think once it hit Garfield, like when he was announced as Mario,
the internet
was like, what? And then they finally heard him and, you know, there was discourse on that. But so it was like, wow, okay. Like of all the people, we're doing Chris Pratt as Mario. That's interesting. And then he was announced for Garfield. And to me, it's like, that's when the Awkwafina effect hit for him. It was like him again, you know, which I don't blame him. He has the star power. He has the draw. Sure. But that's when it hit it
and
for
he's
me.
Got
it was
kids,
like, okay.
And so he wants to like join. But, but yeah, I mean, I don't feel like he has a voice that is uniquely a character and it's kind of the same. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Another one that just came to mind as we were recording and I looked him up. It was Alan Tudyk, which he's kind of become the John Ratzenberger of Disney. You know, John Ratzenberger is like the Easter egg, you know, the lucky charm of Pixar, where he was in every single movie. Although I think recently they've stopped putting him in, which is like offensive and sad to me.
it's like now we know you really
after Lasseter
changed.
Left, so they were like, eh, okay, we're changing this. It's like, okay, fine, you're done with John. I'm done with you.
Yeah,
anyways, not really, but we'll see. But Alan Tudyk has become that for Disney. So I was looking at his voice roles, and he's done quite a bit. So he was Lenny in Ice Age. He was Charlie in Ice Age The Meltdown. He was in a movie called Astro Boy, Mr. McSqueegee, and a whole bunch of other voices. He was Simone in Alvin and the Chipmunks Chipwrecked. He was, again, in another Ice Age movie, and he most famously, in my mind, he was King Candy in Wreck-It Ralph, where he was doing this, the Mad Hatter voice actor, kind of spin off that guy. I can't remember that guy's name. The original guy who did the Mad Hatter's voice. And then he was the Duke of Wesselton in Frozen. Then he was in Big Hero 6. He was Alistair Cray, which because that's like the main bad guy, the villain. Duke Weaselton in Zootopia. In Moana, he was Hey Hey. Like, what? Ralph Breaks the Internet, he was Nosemore. He was Iago in Aladdin, the live action version. So not Gilbert Gottfried, because, you know, he was kind of blacklisted.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, we can get him. Frozen 2, he was a variety of random things. A guard, you know, a leader, whatever. And then Tuk Tuk in Raya the Last Dragon. Pico in Encanto. Again, it's Disenchanted, he was Skrull. Strange World, he was Duffel.
He's literally been in at least
in
two
Wish,
to three.
He was the voice of the goat, the baby goat in Wish.
In Wish, yeah.
It's like, is he really this appealing? So he's one that's interesting because he's not the Chris Pratt where he's the star.
No, he's a voice actor.
All of these Disney ones are he's like an ancillary character or a side character. Like I don't see him. Well, maybe he is hitting the Awkwafina effect because whenever these press releases come out and they announce the cast, it's like, oh, Alan Tudyk again? Okay, great. You know, they really like him. They're going back to that well.
Yeah, but he was never like a main character. Like the...
Weaselton.
Yeah.
Wesselton.
Wesselton, but he's... I don't consider
him... I mean, he was the main bad guy in two movies, Alistair Cray.
Yeah.
And King Candy.
King Candy, yes.
Hey, hey! Just kidding.
I do appreciate some of his, like, his outtakes or behind the scenes where he's just like, I went to Juilliard. And he was, like, doing cluckings for Hey, Hey.
But you're right. He is definitely, like, a more traditional voice actor sort of guy. He does tons of TV.
Yes.
You know, I don't know what he would classify himself. Of course, he's going to say actor, but yeah, interesting. So yeah, there's that. There's another one to add to the list.
Well, it's like in 2002, he got into Ice Age, and then from then on out, it's like at least one, if not two, voice acting gigs a year ever since. And I'm like, good job for you. I will say my favorite movie that he's ever been in is A Knight's Tale. That one. So wonderful.
So good.
And like, I will never see him and not think of A Knight's Tale. But yeah, his voice different. You know, I can hear his voice and not think of it. But to see him, I'm like, no, you're in A Knight's Tale for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I think he gets a pass on this. I think he does.
So he gets a pass. He doesn't count as the Awkwafina effect.
No, because he's not like...
He's immune.
He's
not the star power.
He hasn't been in a lot of live action, and so I don't feel like he is like trying to play that card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John Goodman. He kind of goes back and forth for me. He's been in quite a few of these, and you're at 15. He has about 15 or 14 different roles that you've pulled in here.
Mm-hmm.
And good for him. I think he gets a pass, but he actually, I don't know. Sometimes they try to put him in some of these other movies and as if he isn't somebody else. And I always think of another character. So I think that's true.
What gives him the pass is that he has done this from 1993 till 2019.
Yeah.
And really he's been in a lot of these roles, but I'm trying to see if they're over Awkwafina is an 8-year period being in 8 movies. I don't see that really. Maybe, I mean, from 2000 to 2009, he was in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So maybe, I mean, and that's when I think of him, I kind of think of this era.
Yeah.
You know, where he's Pacha, he was Sully, Baloo in The Jungle Book 2, because Clifford, really big movie, Pacha again, Sully again in Cars, which, I mean, that was like a one. That was really in Cars. He was in the B movie just because, and then he was Big Daddy LaBeouf
in
Princess and the Frog. So
yeah,
like
he
that,
had his 5 years.
That 2000s era was his 8-year chunk where it was like, during this time, it was like, oh yeah, him again. Like in my mind, I thought he was in Home on the Range. He wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
I would have expected that. Another one that you think, oh, he's in a lot of voice acting roles, but it's really more you're in a series that is a major franchise that has 4 installments. The Shrek Effect with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Is Jack Black. So
yes.
Jack Black from 2002 to 2024 obviously has been in 4, 6, 8, 9 different roles, but really not. I mean, he was Lenny in Shark Tale, Zeke in Ice Age, Poe obviously in Kung Fu Panda, all 4 of them, Bowser in the Mario movie, and then he's going to be Claptrap in Borderlands. So meh, I wouldn't count him as this. I don't hear his name and like, oh my gosh, Jack Black. So.
Well, no. I think of all of these, I think he is because he's more of like a character in and of himself. Like you look at him, he looks like a character of something, you know? And so I feel like because he has that, he's funny and he has this like.
I mean, how is that different from Awkwafina? Isn't she a character unto herself?
Yes. I don't know.
But
yeah,
not you're quite. Right. Not quite, right?
But at least in Bowser, I had to look him up. After the fact, and I realized, oh, of course it was Jack Black. But in Poe, of course you know it's Jack Black. But then you have others where it's like he flies in under the radar a little more than I think what Awkwafina can do, just because he has more voices in his catalog.
Yeah. So another one that's interesting, and he also was in
this one does have the Awkwafina effect.
The
for me.
Super Mario Brothers movie, which I'm surprised Awkwafina. Like, why couldn't they find a spot for her? Come on,
right?
Is Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Seth Rogen is in a lot.
Over the past 17 years, he's been in a whole lot of movies. You know, obviously, he was also in Kung Fu Panda 4. So he and Jack Black, they love to hang out in the same movie franchises.
Yeah.
You know, so he's done quite a few things. He's the ship captain in Shrek the Third, Morton in Horton Hears a Who, Mantis in all of the Kung Fu Panda movies. This fourth movie he's listed, but I mean, it was like a very minimal
line, I think they just listed him just in case.
I don't know. Yeah, his character appeared. I can't remember one moment where he talked, but whatever, he gets credit. B.O.B. in Monsters vs. Aliens, Frank in Sausage Party. Like, he was the main guy in Sausage Party, Frank.
Right.
Get it? Pumbaa in The Lion King live action. And I'm including that because it's animated, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, he was a variety of characters. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he was Bebop. Despicable Me 4, which is coming out later this year, he's going to be Chris. And then he's Pumbaa in the new Mufasa movie that's coming out this year. And please, everyone, just don't go see that movie.
Please don't.
Just don't.
Just kill it. Let it die.
Yes, you know my stance. I have been very much anti live action remakes for a long time. The last one I saw was Aladdin, and that was only because I was sent a review copy. But I mean, the last one that I've actively gone and tried to support was Cinderella was the last one. And after that point, I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, and I did end up seeing another one for a review, but I will not go out of my way to watch these. And I have not seen Dumbo. I haven't seen Lady and the Tramp. I've seen all of them from the past few years. I haven't seen Lion King. So yeah, I refuse. And I hope you do too, because we need to tell Disney, stop it. Stop it now.
Just let it die.
Although they did recently fire their studio exec who was over all of the live action remakes. So maybe that's a sign of something coming. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. So yes, he's been. Now, does he count as this, as the
Seth Rogen
yes. effect?
Yes.
Does. Okay.
He 100% hits that for me. Like, I'm totally over you, dude.
And you know what's actually sad is, as I was thinking of this, I couldn't think of any women that hit this Awkwafina effect.
Yeah.
I don't know if it just goes the way that Hollywood is towards women, or maybe like your star power. They're always moving on to the next youngest, hottest girl.
Yeah.
That's very much a characterization, but it's kind of true.
Right.
Like, the men typically have longer careers because they, you know, they get hotter and sexier as they get older, so they say.
It's not wrong.
Women, they say they don't, and I would disagree. But, you know, this is Hollywood, and that's how it is. So I can't think of any female voice actress that just has this, where they're like always cast in the roles. We're seeing them all the time. It seems like I have to maybe look up Amy Fuller. Maybe she would be one, but she's just joy. Can you think of anyone? I mean, the comedians seem to be the ones that have a little bit more.
I feel like the comedians definitely have that ability to reach into.
Oh,
animation.
You know who it is. You know who it is. Aunt Cass.
No, Kristen Wiig.
No, I'm thinking of Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph also, yes.
Yes.
It's the SNL crowd.
The SNL ladies bring it. So I'm trying to see voices that Amy Fuller has done since we were talking about. She was Snow White in Shrek the Third. She was in Horton Hears a Who. She was Sally. She was in Monsters vs. Aliens. She was in Alvin and the Chipmunks. The Squeak Wolf. She was Eleanor. In The Secret World of Arrietty, the English dub, or the U.S. English dub, she was Homily. Wow. Hoodwink 2, she was Gretel. Alvin in another Chipmunks movie, she was Eleanor again. Free Bird, she was Jenny. Inside Out, she was Joy, obviously. And then she's going to be doing Joy again in Inside Out, too. So she is definitely has a lot of voice roles to her. It's interesting that we've honed in, like, this is a comedian sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
They want you to be funny. But I don't think, if I'm looking at her, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, oh, man, she's in everything. But so a lot, maybe because a lot of these I didn't see. I didn't see Alvin and the Chipmunks. And Maya Rudolph, she was like the Disney Alan Tudyk, where she was in so much stuff. Here we go. Shrek the Third. Oh, man. She was Shrek the Third, too. She was Rapunzel. Yeah. Next to Amy Fuller. And she was the zookeeper. She was Molly in the movie The Zookeeper. But that's not really. All these ones that say voice only is weird. Again, so Wikipedia does not keep things standard. Like, in hers, it says voice only when she's a voice role, which I'm like, what do you mean voice only? Just put voice. Like, but in Amy Fuller's, it just says voice. But hers says voice only. Anyway, It's weird. In Turbo, she was Burn. In The Nut Job, she was Precious. In Big Hero 6, she was Aunt Cass. In Strange Magic, remember that?
Oh, she was
Griselda. Angry Birds movie, she was Poppy and Matilda. In the Emoji movie, she was Smiler. And in Nut Job 2, she was Precious. In the Lego movie, the second part, she was Mom. In Angry Birds 2, she was Matilda. In the Mitchells versus the Machine, she was Linda. In Luca, she was Daniela. In Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, she was Cynthia. And there's a movie called If coming out this year. She's going to be Ally or Allie. So I would count Maya Rudolph as being the Awkwafina effect. Because I definitely remember when she was being cat, like after Aunt Cass, that was like the one announcer. I'm like, really? Again? And there was something else that she kept getting cast in. I'm like, again? Angry Birds? Okay. So to me, Maya Rudolph is check the box. She has the Awkwafina effect. Yeah. Along with Amy Fuller.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Kristen Wiig for me as well. She started getting in first as Ice Age Dawn of the Dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. She was in that one in 2009. And then later on, she gets into How to Train Your Dragon as Rough Nut. And so she's in all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, and like all of the cartoons, like all of the individual ones. So she gets a lot there. So good for her there. But then later on, I just see her in. Like,
she was Miss Hattie in Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Despicable Me 2 was her next one. And it was just kind of like, you're back. Oh, okay.
She's in the same movie, but a totally different character. And this is the main character who ends up marrying Gru.
Yeah.
So we're going to see her again later this summer in the fourth one.
Like, I just. And then she was also in she was Brenda in Sausage Party. Spickle Me 3. And like, so yeah, she gets in there quite a bit. But she did get into these franchises. So I think maybe less because you are. She's
two big franchises
really
that have
big.
Quite a few movies.
Yeah. So I give her a pass on that one because she does.
For How to Train Your Dragon, for Despicable Me's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm like, why am I seeing her so often? Oh, just because she's in those, and then also
she knows how to bet on a horse.
Good job. Okay, I give her a pass, and I also like say congrats because you at least stuck with like a character.
Well, this is good. I'm glad that we have thought of a bunch of women just off the top of our heads. You know, we have a big list of these, and you know, we were able to fill that void. So this is a men and a women problem, and it's a comedian problem, it seems.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm...
Other than Chris Pratt, I don't consider him a comedian, but yeah. If you really want to be...
Benedict Cumberbatch, too.
Yeah, if you really want to make it, have a long, illustrious career in animation, you know, be funny, because they always need those funny roles.
They do.
So, anyway, interesting discussion.
Yeah, I'm glad that we went into all these and made it... So like, okay, now I understand why I feel
more
the way
informed.
I feel.
Mm-hmm. So feel free to coin the phrase Awkwafina effect. You may use it.
I'm
love
sure
it.
She doesn't appreciate
it's a,
it.
It's a thing. Hey, we have no hard feelings on her. We like her.
It's true.
She is just, hey, it's happening, as has happened to many others before her.
I think the lesson to be learned is, you know, find the thing, find the one, and... Just kind of like let it be for a little bit if you can afford it.
Or just cash that sweet voice actor checks. Go for it.
Bring it in. Respect. All right. Respect.
Good tip.
Okay. So if you have any, I want to know what you guys think in the comments. If you want to send us a voicemail, you can go to rotoscopers.com/voicemails. Or you can dial 406-646-6575. That would be wonderful. And we can hear what you got to say.
Woot woot.
Make sure to leave your thoughts. And we're going to be doing a nice little episode of all of your, just, you know, even if you just want to say hey. And we'll say, hey, right back. It'll be great.
Hey. Bring on the voicemails. We want to do a big ol' voicemail episode. I was thinking of Mean Girls. I have a big old lesbian crush on you. I was trying to do a big old voicemail episode. It didn't quite work. But.
Didn't quite land.
Oh, well. With that, what should our next movie be? It's
all right. Until next time.
I saw my great. Okay. Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, and is it worth it?
It's okay. It's Illumination. It was fine.
Okay. I can't believe she was in Migration as well.
I know. I didn't think she was. And then they go to like a random, it's like a journey movie. So they make a stop somewhere and it's like they meet new birds and she's one of them. I'm like, of course. And that's not what you want. You don't want like her.
So. All right. So our next episode is going to be one that I have had on my list for quite some time, which is a good thing because I've been looking forward to it. This is a documentary put together by the illustrious duo, the Bancroft brothers. It's called Pencils versus Pixels. And the synopsis says it is a celebration of the unique magic of 2D hand-drawn animation and an exploration of how the Disney Renaissance of the late 1980s and early 1990s led to an animation boom that was quickly upended by the computer animation revolution that followed. Narrated by Ming-Na Wen, Pencils vs. Pixels features many of the legendary artists who brought these now classic films to life as they guide us through the last few decades of animation and into the future of what's yet to come. Fun.
Sounds fun. Let's do it. I believe you can watch it on Amazon. You can watch it on Prime Video, but it's not included in Prime Video. You have to rent it. But I believe that it is exclusive to Apple TV. So with that, get ready, send us your voicemails, and we will talk to you next time. Until next time, we are the Rotoscopers. Testing. Hello, hello, hello. Yes, that is looking good. I'm recording.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm getting my Pro Tools up right now.
Okay, yeah, don't worry. I'm still... Wow, I didn't know that John Goodman voiced someone in Cars.
I think it was that Cars 2.
Oh, the James P. Sullivan truck. So there's like a Sully from Monsters, Inc.
That's right.
Honestly, well, that's, I'll count it. But
fine. I'm not going to be happy about it. Yeah, so I mentioned Channing Tatum the other day, and I was like, why do I feel like he got a lot of things after a while? And I'm looking at his IMDb, and he had two. Okay. So he had Smallfoot, which is the one that I was like, why are you in? Like, why did you get this movie?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Oh, that was it. Hmm?
Yeah.
He did not have an illustrious...
No, he didn't.
Career in voice acting.
He had those too. But even the fact that like he got Smallfoot as the lead in it, it was just like, what?
it's really funny, you know, because the voice acting roles, they have to be cast so far in advance.
Yeah.
And by the time that they actually come in theaters, you're like, wow, this person is everywhere. And it's just interesting to me that it's like somebody knew that he was going to be in all these other things and that he would be the new up and coming star, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's just interesting. Like, how do they project this and kind of anticipate? Yeah. Because sometimes it really does align where it's like, holy cow, you like, we'll talk about Chris Pratt. You know, he was Emmett in the Lego Movie 2014 and he was in other stuff. But if I recall, I don't think Guardians of the Galaxy didn't come out in 2014 and the Lego Movie came out before that, you know, and he was in other things like. He's been around forever and he was in Parks and Rec and whatnot, but like those two hitting the same year, I think that's just really interesting to me. And we could talk about that, you know, later when it happens, but yeah. Stars align ever so nicely. And then also my mom has called me and she's going to be coming over in about 30 minutes to bring over my eggs.
I buy
eggs from a lady nearby her and I picked them up and then I headed over to her house and then I just left them there in her fridge. So this lady has the best egg deal in town. They were $3 a dozen and then prices went up and they were $4 a dozen, which, poof, you know,
yeah,
still it's ridiculously cheap. I wasn't going to complain. She's like, yeah, I'm so sorry. The food costs so much more now. And I'm like, you're good. Like, Yeah. Anyway, so she texted me the other day. She's like, it's back to $3 a dozen. I'm like, awesome.
Aw.
And then I know.
That's
I
was so like, sweet.
Most people don't do that.
No.
And then I go and I pick it up. And then she's like, oh, I have. So I already 3 dozen eggs. That's what I paid for. Uh-huh. And then she's threw in 2 more dozen. And she's like, oh, we bought some chickens last year and they're still little, but this is their first time laying eggs and they're so little. And I thought your kids would love them.
Aw.
I'm like, I love cutest.
Chicken people are great.
Yeah. So anyways, but now I have 5 dozen eggs. 5 dozen eggs every morning to help me get large. And now that I'm grown, I ate. Okay, yeah, 5 dozen. What's the next? All right.
Well, so we can I'm roughly the size of a barge. We
can feed Gaston for a day at my house. So if he ever decides to visit, like, we got you. Yeah.
Shout out to all the chicken people out there.
Did you ever have chickens?
We did. And I just remember, like, we didn't have a situation that they would.
A situation.
We weren't collecting eggs, right?
Oh, so you had chickens, but not for the eggs?
Yeah. Like, we just had lots of stuff running around at the ranch. That was what the ranch was, Morgan. Oh. Lest you forget.
Well, it has been a while, but no.
Like, the ranch was just the thing, the menagerie of whatever's happening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we had peacocks, for goodness sake. There's no reason to have a peacock, I promise you.
Other than they just look cool.
They look cool, but they're so annoying. And their brains are smaller than their eyeballs. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. they're the dumbest birds out there. Anyway, but yeah, we had these chickens, and it was just like one little family that would like run around. And I remember being a little kid trying to go touch them, and then the mother like going at me, and they're like, yeah. I hate chickens.
They ruined it for you.
It did. And then any dog that you have, it's like, oh, this is my new game is killing the chicken. So unfortunately you have to, if you have a dog,
that's your new game.
That's what dogs do. Like,
I thought you were talking about you. I'm like,
no. If a dog, if you don't raise a dog with chickens, then you just introduce chickens, it's not going to work out. And the moment a dog kills a chicken, then the dog is basically useless, because the dog will always want to want to kill the chicken.
The thrill of adventure, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember we had a dog at some point. I don't remember which dog this was, but we had a dog that went over to down the street, like. Uh-huh. I think it ended up killing one of their chickens, and like, he almost shot the dog. Like, he was so ticked. And yeah. I don't doubt it, but it's just like, people with their chickens, they're very, they don't.
Well, yeah, they're a food source.
They are. Yeah. So
pretty sustainable, like, right?
So it's just funny. Like, these are the types of, you know, things that happen in mm-hmm. rural areas, that if you live in a city, you have no idea what any of this means. But if you live in a rural area where you have like, people actually like grow things and have chickens and have these things. It's a common thing. Mm-hmm. You got to keep away from the coyotes that try to come and kill your chickens and chickens, man. They have so many enemies.
Yes, they do. So we are getting fiber internet.
Ooh,
yeah. So and, yeah. So my mother-in-law, she's in Mesa, and Mesa uh-huh. is getting Google Fiber, which Google Fiber, you know, they select certain cities to do it, and then they install it for free. And then Google Fiber is just ridiculously cheap. It's sort of just a way, they just want to get you on the internet, because they, right. just, you know, once we get you on, you're hooked.
Right. But, we gotcha.
This and they
data,
select
so much you have to, data.
Like, you have to apply. And they pick certain cities, I think, that are maybe like have impoverished areas or low income. And Mesa definitely has that. And so, you know, where I live, it was never in the cards. It was always Tempe and Mesa were the ones that were going to get it. And so instead, we're getting fiber, but it's AT&T fiber. It's just so interesting to me that these companies are going in, paying tons of money for the infrastructure to make this happen. Like, they're literally, they have to dig about maybe 10 feet into your property. Yeah. So they're cutting through everyone's front yards, which we're like, we never got any notice about this. How are they allowed to just cut up your front yard? You know?
Yeah. That is interesting.
But I hate Cox with a passion. It is the worst internet provider of all time. And they have a monopoly because they're the only game in town. Yes, yeah. They're CenturyLink, but like they're a nothing burger. I'm excited, but just kind of like annoyed at the same time. Uh-huh. So it is what it is. You know, it's interesting when I'm pulling up some of these characters, these people. Okay.
I'm going to,
it's just so dumb. It's like some people they'll have a table of all of their video, all of their film on their actual Wikipedia page. And it's nice and easy. Other people have a filmography, like a separate filmography subpage that you have to click on. Some people are in so many pieces of film that they call it videography because, you know, like Justin Timberlake, for example, like, well, it's not just filmography. It's like a video because it's a music video. So then there's a videography page that you go to. But then I'm on John Goodman right now, and it's John Goodman on screen and stage. And I'm like, Wikipedia, can we just have some sort of consolidation on being consistent?
Yeah. Hold on one second. I'm going to switch my audio.
Now I have 5 dozen eggs, so I'm roughly the size of a barn.